Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and believe it or not, that is Mr. Mark Sutherland joining us all the way from the United Kingdom. And Mark, thank you so much for stepping in today for David. He's a little under the weather, and I know it was last second notice for you, and you jumped right in on it, and I really appreciate that and appreciate you taking the time to join me for this edition of Last Christian.
Not at all, J.D. It was lovely to join you once again. It was only a little while ago.
Yeah.
I sat here, and please, everyone bear, keep David in your prayers at the moment. He's in fine fettle, but hasn't been well. I don't know if I can, I'm not going to even try to fill his boots because he has,
you got
with
your
this
own.
Subject, I've yeah. got my own, but with yes. this subject, he, these are his notes that he has created for this Bible study. And before we frighten everyone and think that we're actually going to go through 28 pages of notes in an hour, I don't think so, but who knows. But just to give a shout out to the in-depthness that he's gone on through on this, especially on a subject that I find really, really, really fascinating.
It's
so relevant
to our
cultural context that we find ourselves in, J.D.
Well, Mark, would you mind playing us into this this edition of the show, and then we'll get on down with this Bible study?
Yeah, not at all, not at all. Brilliant. Father, we just thank you that we have the technology to be able to do this, to be able to record programs and send them out to people around the world. So we're just grateful for that. Just really anoint us. Give us the words to say. We don't sit here as experts. We sit here as people that are humbled by you, by the knowledge that you want to impart through us. And also we just pray for David. Just ask that you will continue to heal him and get him well and 100% and up and running and full recovery, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We agree on that 100%. Now, Mark, we have, for the last couple of weeks, been on the flood. And I can tell you that one of the topics that David was covering was how the water how there was that much water that came down on the earth at one time. And I believe that it was, you know, you've heard of flash floods, right? I believe that this was like the most catastrophic flash flood in the history of time. My contention being that, you know, Noah was out there for what, 110 or, you know, 100 to 120 years, depending on how you look at it. Preaching the gospel and telling people, you know, this is coming and you better be prepared for it. And they were laughing at him and they ridiculed him and all that. It had to be a very significant flash flood, in my personal opinion, because as soon as the water began to fall from the sky, which had never happened before, then these people are starting to say, oh, wait, he was right. And they run for that ark, because they're going to save their life jumping on at the last second. But unfortunately for them, God closed the door. So, you know, that thing is going to have to rise. Again, in my opinion, it's going to have to rise pretty quickly. Otherwise, they're going to find sticks, stones, whatever, to try to bust in it and get in the ark. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but that's the mental picture that I have. But anyway, I wanted to let you know kind of where we were at, and then I wanted to get your perspective from there.
That's an that's very interesting, because as you said, the amount of water that's suddenly there, the ark would be moving really, really quite fast. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you would have had thousands and thousands of people clambering on it. I mean, that, I have to say, I haven't thought about that concept on the one hand. But if we look at the deluge, I think we use the word deluge water. Mm-hmm. My own understanding is that as the water came down, water also came up out of the earth.
Same time. Okay.
Out of the earth as well. Mm-hmm. And I do love this subject. I'm not saying I know a lot about it on the one hand, but I do love this subject. And one of the reasons why I love this subject, and just to put a bit of contextualness about it in regard to the UK.
Okay.
We we don't really talk about, or my experience in churches, they don't really talk about the flood and the real flood and why it really, really happened, right? They don't
either.
Really preach about that. Because, of course, we end up, it's this whole thing of genetic crossbreeding,
right?
Going back to Genesis 6, the fallen angels coming down to earth and having sex with human women. Mm-hmm. And I'll just give a bit of testimony here in the fact that in 2010, you know, up to that point, yeah, a Christian, became a Christian when I was 18, many years ago. We won't go into that. And then I, in 2010, I woke up and I remember going on, some people be aware of this gentleman, Steve Quayle's website, and reading about Genesis 6 and going, excuse me, are you telling me this is real?
Uh-huh,
yes.
Uh-huh.
And of course, we've got this fight where people are either taking, they're either believing the Bible for what it really says, or they think it's allegorical. So the whole thing of Noah is sort of played where if you're going to discuss the flood, then you ask all these young children in the church to come up and they sing a song, you know, the rain came down and the floods came up. And it all seems a bit twee. It all seems a bit nice. Where actually it was violent.
It was a judgment.
It was violent. Mm-hmm. And it was a judgment, as you say, because of the deluge of rain. Because of the genetic crossbreeding, the fallen angels had come out of their estate that they had challenged. They had challenged God. They'd come down to Mount Hermon, and this is where they would gain access to Earth. They'd come down. Now, I don't know if you, I've forgotten the head then of the fallen angel's name. We can either
to
Google that at some point. But in the other biblical, what I would say, books that help to back up the biblical narrative, like the Book of Enoch. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it like that because loads of people go, some people go, oh, it's not canon. Well, the Book of Enoch is so profound, so helpful. Then you've got the Book of Jasher, Jubilees, etc.
Right.
And David, who is so in depth on his Bible studies and helped me at various times and gone, look at this. So they are explaining the incursion of the fallen angels into Earth, into the civilization, of course, started by Adam and Eve, the fall, etc., etc. But the reason why this whole subject is fascinating is because of, and I'm thinking culturally here, and also on your side of the pond, because of Darwinism, because of pushing the whole of evolutionary theory, this kind of subject to be taken literally has then been pushed and pushed and pushed out of the public square.
Right.
And the evolution has then been pushed and pushed. So the flood comes. There is also that debate about an extra planet coming into our solar system called Nibiru. And that comes in, which is another very interesting subject, disrupts our atmosphere. So God has turned around and gone, there's judgment coming. I've had my dear prophet Noah. Now you can imagine, right? You're building something for many, many years and there's no rain. And everyone's saying to you, what are you playing at? You're a nutter. You're an idiot.
Right.
And you're getting maybe negative comments from your own family.
Yeah, I would
you're
assume.
You're getting negative comments from someone you're married to.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was obedient. He was obedient. What amazes me about the story, it's not a story, it's happened, and I'll expand this in a minute, and I'm going all over the place, but David does. But the key thing is when he says, I want you to make a boat this size, this length, this width, this height, And I want you to do that. And how did all the animals know to walk towards the ark? How did they know that? How did they know that, JD? How did they get a concept of what was going on? And I think if we look in our modern times, how maybe even, I know you've got dogs, you most probably have previous dogs to them. I haven't had, but we look at how our animals react to the change in weather, the change in season, how they react to thunderstorms and all this kind of thing. So they, and I know you've, there's been quite a few tornadoes that have suddenly hit America over the last few days. So all this intuitiveness, and Noah had to stay faithful. He had to stay faithful against for what he couldn't see that was coming. God had given him a warning, and he obeyed.
Do you
point.
Think, here comes stupid question number one, Mark, I'll warn you.
No, okay. None of them are stupid.
Do you think that that he was given a vision, for lack of a better word, of what was to come, or did he simply work with nothing more than just a pure faith that he knew that whatever God was telling him, that was what was going to happen, or a mixture of either?
It could be a mixture of either, but I'm suddenly, my mind's working overtime going, what was Noah seeing? What was happening on the earth? What was he seeing? Was he seeing Nephilim? Was he seeing giants?
I would say so, yes.
So he was seeing sinful acts that were taking part, that God then is turning around and going, I need to see someone who's got an obedient heart for me that is also, is it fair to say, that has not been genetically tainted things that were going on?
That is exactly what David has been talking about over the past few weeks, is the fact that Noah and his family were, at least we believe, I mean, we weren't there, right? But we believe that his family was the only one left that had not been corrupted yet. And we even went last week as far, and this is something I'd never thought of before, and I don't know if you have either, but we even went as far as to talk about how animals, maybe even the animals, were all corrupted except for those pairs that went on the ark. Now, you know, that's getting down to it, but the fact of the matter is, you know, as in the days of Noah, so shall the end of time be. Okay, well, we are right now, through scientific achievements, putting animal parts or whatever you want to call it into human beings. They're messing around with the genetics, right? So, you know, it's very, very possible that the animals were just as corrupt as the human beings back then, except for those animals that I believe were called by God two by two, or, you know, and to proceed. But, you know, I mean, that's all supposition, but, you know, that's kind of where we were, what we were talking about. I'd like your take on it.
It's something I've never thought about, but in many ways it makes sense. Maybe here's a sort of historical throw out at that. When we look at Egyptian hieroglyphics and we see sort of human beings with cats' heads on and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, the whole Egyptian pyramid discussion is fascinating. And I have to say that I personally have a problem with thinking that human beings actually built them because of the size of them.
Unless they came up with some kind of anti-gravity system, you know, I mean, David says it all the time. You know, if you think that people back then were stupid, you know, you got another thing coming. You know, they were smart, maybe smarter than us.
But it all depends what other entities, beings were around. I'm not just throwing that out. for the sake of it, just to be shocking. If we, this then ties, if we think about the stones, how the stones have interlocked together, how have they been cut? Mm-hmm. The city that is not far from Cusco in Peru, I'm trying to think of that city, also has the same, where it's mm-hmm. got all the interlocking stones, cycloptic architecture, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. It is all of this discussion, it's all relevant. It's all relevant mm-hmm. to this, because it ends up being about history that you're trying to hide, you're trying to suppress.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is all now relevant mm-hmm. to what's going on. Because I'll throw this out right now in our discussion. What David has said about the animals, I think is fascinating. I think he's really onto something there. I've never thought of that. But I am, that's why I've mentioned the Egyptian hieroglyphics and all mm-hmm. the rest. Because you think, what experimentation was going on? And, right. and this is wrong, especially mm-hmm. when we've had all the experimentation on mice, pigs, you know, mm-hmm. growing new ears and stuff right. like that for mm-hmm. human beings. I'm not into that one iota. I think that this is profoundly wrong. God has given us rules in regard to how to behave and what not to do. And without getting us in trouble, the recent history over the last 4 years and the experimentation on the human body
right.
through mm-hmm. some kind of insertion, mm-hmm. that is all part of that. And you've alluded to that. Matthew 24, you know, when will we know of the day of your return? Mm-hmm. As in the days of Noah. So we look at all the scientific experimentation.
Right.
That is not going to be recognized, JD, because we live in a world that is sinful. We live in a world that wants to push out God and ban and push out the Bible. And we live in a world that even, sadly, within people that will call themselves Christians, don't take this literally. I find this subject, I think this subject is deeply exciting, and it also gives us an opportunity to, particularly with men from an evangelistic point of view, to meet them and to greet. I'd say this to you, slight tangent. We look at all the Marvel comics, we look at all, you know, Spider-Man, the Incredible Hulk, and all these characters. Mm-hmm. Well, again, like in the Hulk thing, something's happened, something affects his genetics. There's other characters, you know, that have all, like Superman, they have all these supernatural abilities. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit like also with the film Transformers. You are giving a soft story. Mm-hmm. And sort of lying to people to say, oh, it's great, these people have got these powers. You're not telling the biblical narrative. It all comes from the biblical narrative.
Yes.
We're talking about mm-hmm. the Nephilim, etc., the giants, the mighty gods of old. Mm-hmm. This is where all this is coming from. And, of course, that continues after the flood. There was another discussion on how that
yeah,
I'm not going to get
that
into.
Right there, yeah. Mark, is kind of where we were going with the show. And I don't know, I was actually listening to a lady teacher, Bible teacher, and I'm not really sure if I liked her position, I guess, on this. Or not, because it does say that, you know, there were giants in those days and after.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the and after part is where we were headed here. But the teaching that I heard, she believes that Nephilim are in the earth right now. And that this is a it is continuing exactly the way it did in the days of Noah. In other words, that there are still these entities or whatever that are doing these things. Now, like I said, I don't know that I buy into that. And one of the main reasons I don't is because, like you were saying, and as David and I have been discussing, these Egyptians that were doing these hieroglyphics or whatever, however you say that, I have a problem with that. They really saw people with the snake heads and with the zebra heads, you know, and all that. They really saw that. This isn't something that they made up.
No,
they were actually carving what they actually saw. So I'm not seeing that in today's world, but maybe it's coming. I don't know. I just think maybe Satan got a little bit more creative this time around, but it's the same, you know, it's the same deal. He's doing exactly what he did before as far as messing up your the DNA and all that, but maybe it's a little bit more subtle than it was back then where it just, you know, goes completely crazy. I don't know if that made any sense to you or not, Mark, but I don't...
Yes, it does, and that's why I brought up the Marvel films and this whole discussion on... that, you know, Nephilim giants, this whole thing of after the flood, that demonic behavior, demons are disembodied, I think, Nephilim beings. And that this whole, I'd have to go and do a bit more study on this, and maybe we need David here because my other friends, people like Derek Gilbert and L.A. Marzulli have got.
Oh, yeah.
And with David can clearly explain why and how this jump happened.
Yeah.
But I think is definitely to look at demonic interference is very, it was always fascinating to me when we look at Jesus's ministry and how much interaction with demons and also when he, you know, the ministry to do that and casting out,
and they recognized him not to take away from you there, but they in each case where he ran across demons, they recognized him. It's like, okay, you know, what's up, you know, what are we going to do now, because, you know, we're God's here, you know, so what do we do now?
Go ahead, Mark. Agree, and we live in, not at all, we live in a world where within the psychology world, they don't want to recognize that. They don't want to recognize that because it's about pushing God out. And I'm not being disrespectful to anyone else, but to anyone who's got mental health problems or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We also know within that field and others, the solution is Jesus.
Amen. Right?
The solution is Jesus. The solution is us as Christians praying for them.
Amen.
And praying for healing and casting things out where they need to be cast out.
Amen.
But hearing God on that and what we should do in that behavior. This is real. I suppose it comes down to a simple thing of the good and evil exist. Politically, certain people of a political persuasion, say on the left, would want to change that and say no, there is no such thing as evil. They won't, or sin. They won't recognize that in that way. Sorry if that sounds a bit simplistic, but this is the fight. And as some people greater than me have constantly pointed out, with the fact that it goes back to, I think, Genesis 3, verse 15, where it talks about, this is all about the seed war. This is all about the seed constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tied in with the flood story and Adam and Eve and what happened there, and temptation and biting the apple and being told not to do this.
Right.
You are in the garden. So God had created this perfect, perfect world, this perfect garden. And I know through David's notes, when he goes through this into what certain things are representing. But this is really key as well, where there is clear instruction. Please do not do this.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. Sin.
Right.
Adam and Eve. fell, then if you take it, then if you go later on to the flood story, God is going, I have got no option.
Yeah,
but
right.
To do this.
Yeah, I mean, he made it clear. He said, you know, I'm not happy I made them, you know. Mm. Well, I said this on another show. It's not like it was a surprise. Either God knew it before he even created the world. This is exactly what's going to happen. So, you know, there was a plan in place all along. But now I want to get to another point here real quick, and that's about the modern church. Okay. Mm. Because you kind of touched on this, and that's what rang it in my mind, is that this stuff is not taught in churches.
Whenever
you go to a church, and correct me if I'm wrong now, because you've got a different life experience for sure, but whenever I've gone to a church and this is discussed, and I'm talking about the book of Genesis, you go from the creation to the flood. No explanation other than man bad, okay? And that's it. They close the book on that, and now let's move on to other things. You don't talk about it. You don't discuss what actually happened until maybe the last 5 years. I never really paid any attention to the fact that you had these demons that had relations with earthly women, and that was the reason for the flood. It was just it was always explained to me anyway in churches. Well, man just went bad. They just bad. Well, if they just went bad, Mark, okay, where's our water rising? You know, that's how I look at it. I mean, there was more to it than just people being bad. I don't know. Anyway, we're almost out of time here in the first half, and I'm going to let you lead off the second half with your answer there, because I know you've got a good one, and I'm looking forward to it. For everybody out there, yes, we are missing Mr. David Paxton today. He will be back on the next show, we hope. He's just, like I said, he's just a little bit under the weather, but he'll be back. David's a strong guy, and he didn't want to miss, but let me tell you this. I couldn't have a better person to speak with today than our UK correspondent there, Mr. Mark Sutherland. Mark will be with us at least once a month from now on, and we're looking forward to having him on, bringing that different perspective from overseas. Anyway, we'll be back right after the break. Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. Mark Sutherland all the way from the United Kingdom. And Mark, I kind of went on a tangent there at the end of the first half and didn't give you an opportunity to respond. So if you remember what we were talking about, I'll let you chime in on that, or you can take us in a whole different direction. What's up to you, sir?
I am going to chime in on that. I'm going to try and remember what you've said. But I just want to start with this, because this is really, really important, because in many ways we haven't mentioned any biblical verses yet. So David's broken this down on page one. So he's talking about Genesis 6, verses 1 to 8. We have mentioned that. We've talked about that. Mm-hmm. And we'll go back to it, which is the corruption of the Nephilim and God's decision to destroy the earth. That is why we're having this discussion. Right. So Genesis 6, 9 to 22, God commands Noah to build an ark, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about that. The flood begins, all life outside the ark perishes, and we talked about that the flood is a violent act, and you said, I thought, something really, really interesting, which is, it wasn't so quick and violent, otherwise loads of people might have been hanging onto the boat. Maybe they were, but the violence threw them off, or they were trying to get in, but the door, it was sealed. That was it. Genesis 8, the waters recede. That we haven't discussed that. Noah's family and animals leave the ark. Genesis 9, covenant with Noah and the rainbow as a sign. Mm-hmm. Right. So we go back to your question, which in some ways I'll try and remember. But when I said it's, I'm trying to put what has happened recently to us 5 years ago, then within a very short time, then everyone turning around and saying, the authorities turning around and saying, we've got this pandemic. The only way out of it is for you to take a injection, right? And you must do this. So the link between that and Genesis 6, and I'm not saying that Genesis 6 talks about the fact that in the year 2022, you will have to take this injection. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is about the genetic crossbreeding, the incursion. So I'm just going to underline that again. There was an incursion by the fallen angels coming down to Mount Hermon. Now, just so that people understand, from the Golan Heights in Israel, which is the border there with Syria, you can then see Mount Hermon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At this present time, because of what has happened in Syria, the fact and the sad leaving and the fall of his regime, at this present time, it's been reported, we've seen it, that Israeli forces are on Mount Hermon, maybe the other side of Mount Hermon, in a defensive position. We've seen pictures of them there with the snow and all the rest. The reason why I'm saying that, because the place exists. Mount Hermon, it's an obvious thing to say, but Mount Hermon is real.
Mm-hmm.
So with what we understand biblically, if you and I were able to stand on Mount Hermon, we would then have even more of an understanding, because we're physically there, of this story.
Mm-hmm.
it's not a story, it's real, but mm-hmm. where this has been written about real events. Now, going mm-hmm. back to the injections, we have just had, this is my opinion, we have just had a huge, irresponsible, evil medical experiment on humanity.
Agree, 100%.
The amount of millions and millions of people mm-hmm. that have been injected mm-hmm. by something that was not there to do them good, mm-hmm. that was to do them harm. And there are injuries from there, and that there are deaths from there. And that is definitely happening within the UK, and I know that's definitely happening in America. And I've just had another reminder in having a conversation this week where someone I know, and they'd lost both their parents of a particular age very, very quickly. And when people say things like that to me, I have to draw an instant conclusion that I try not to say, because I don't think everyone is on the same page as this, that they have died because of an injection that they have had. Mm-hmm. Then we've got another interesting situation where people are not dying, and they've said, well, I've had 7 injections. I know people have had that, but they seem to be fine. And they go, what's the problem? What's the problem with you? Mm-hmm. Because you didn't decide to have this. So the breakdown, Dr. McCulloch, I think, talks about this. The breakdown is this. Up until the whole COVID thing, I had a different view of taking vaccines.
I've been brought up
to have that. Mm-hmm. I've given that, you know, it breaks my heart in many ways. My children have had that. Other people have had that. I've mm-hmm. had that on trips and all the rest. Mm-hmm. And then we get into this whole thing of germ theory, the terrain. You clean the terrain up, then the diseases go down. Where, say, if you've got a picture of a goldfish, one goldfish has got clean, the dirty water. Mm-hmm. For one goldfish, you take the goldfish out, you clean the water, you put the goldfish back in. The other bowl, you leave the dirty water, you take the goldfish out, give them a vaccine, and then put it in. Mm-hmm. Why is this relevant? The reason why it's relevant is because we've had these warnings in scripture, where it goes, what does the word pharmakia mean? It means magic. So mm-hmm. to give you an understanding of a context in the UK, when we created the National Health Service and a socialized medicine system, as you call it, it's public mm-hmm. health in that sense. 1954 is when I believe Pfizer signed up its first contract with the National Health Service. Now, I'm not going to get us sued by Pfizer, because Pfizer have been sued enough. Mm-hmm. And it's now questionable in regard to what they then pushed out. So this whole thing McCulloch talks about mRNA. It was mRNA, a huge experimentation. So vaccines are there. They're put in our bodies for us to build up antibodies against the particular disease. Mm-hmm. It seems to me, and I'm not a medical doctor, I just say that as a disclaimer, but my own understanding of it, people have had these injections and they've immediately gone for their vital organs. They've like sat here and then gone, right, where's the heart? Where's mm-hmm. the lungs, etc., kidney? And gone for the vital organs. That has then changed in many people. It's changed their lives. Mm-hmm. Under threat, people were told, if you don't do this and have this insertion, then this injection, then you won't be able to go about your life.
Daily life, right.
Mm-hmm. And David, in his notes, wonderfully, brilliantly says, the ark is the parallel with Jesus. It's the mm-hmm. symbolic.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There were 8 mm-hmm. people who God chose, believed that, you know, were not affected by this genetic stuff, were pure in that way. I'm not saying that perfect genetically then. And he just said, right, I'm going to choose these people, this family. He's doing what I've told him to do, build the ark, off they go. And the ark is the metaphor as well for salvation in Christ. I've given you an option, Al. And as the rainbow talks about, I promise not to flood the earth again. God hasn't promised that he's not going to burn it up.
Right.
He hasn't promised that, right?
Yeah.
And again, and I suppose this is my sort of wheelhouse in that sense, I'm looking at things contextually, as in what is happening now within our own culture.
Yeah.
And of course, we immediately jump to the LGBTQ whatever hijack of a rainbow flag. And it's a bit of sort of a thumb in the nose to God saying, I've had enough of sinful man. I'm dealing with this and I'm going to have a flood. And that's it. I'm going to deal with it. And we look at what's happening now. I cannot discuss this subject without looking at what's happening now. And I'll throw in another little thing for a stop. One of the incredible things and the benefits of the COVID situation, and I'll refer it to America first, is that parents began to work out what their children were being taught in schools.
Right.
And they began to be righteously horrified by this. Right. And they then began to take action over that. Some people sadly got into trouble at school board meetings because the left ideology didn't like that. The fact that they were questioning the books in libraries and stuff like that. Why is this relevant? The reason why it's relevant is because then homeschooling took off even more. That meant that you as parents had more control over what you were then teaching to your kids about your children, about the proper narrative. And you, America, with all its faults, and it has faults, but Matt, and the UK has extreme faults, but within American culture, I've said this, it's not unusual. You could drive down your freeways and you've got billboards going, Jesus is Lord, listen to this radio station.
Right.
You've got that on your trucks. We do not have that culturally at all now. If you know, in many ways, if we did have certain things. But God has been so pushed out of the public square and out of our schools. There is a link with all of this. And it, I think this whole thing is becoming more relevant than anything. And I'll say this. We've got evolution. We challenge that. We then look at the amount of ice that is not depreciating in our poles. It is growing. We then look at things like the barrier reef where they say, oh, it's receding. It is not. It is replacing itself. It goes into the subject that David talks about in regard to fossils. The fossils have not been created over millions of years. It's instant because of the flood that has drowned various creatures and then rescinded. This has another important subject in regard to our modern context. Oil is not a fossilized fuel.
Correct.
It is created. It is a gift. It is a gift from God for us to be able to move forward as a civilization. Cheap fuel enables us to do that. And before anyone says, Mark, what has that got to do with the flood and all the rest? I'm trying to put things in our cultural context to what's going on. So we look at the whole ecological movement and the whole climate change movement. You then go back to Nazism, you go back to technocracy, and you go back to Nazi ecology. So our job, as your program, the program's Last Christian Watchmen on the Walls. We're not calling ourselves prophets.
Right.
We are also trying to comment on the culture, not fit the Bible to the culture. The culture has walked out of the Bible and is completely and utterly against it. There's far too many people having out-of-Bible experiences, and Darwinism and all the rest, and of course communism, Karl Marx, etc., has been pushing all of this, so much so that within our Bible seminaries, I call them Bible cemeteries over here.
Yeah, me too.
You're right. You're right. They mock the flood. Mm-hmm. They mock people like, is it Ken Ham who has built a three-quarter size of the ark?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They mock people like that,
mm-hmm.
where I think this subject is more relevant now for us to get our heads around from a biblical understanding, because we see what's coming down the line. And the Grand Canyon, how was that formed?
Mm-hmm.
Other places like that. And there is, David talks about this in his notes, and other people have said that there are accounts of a flood in 250 times in 250 different people groups, different mm-hmm. civilization mm-hmm. groups.
Right.
They refer to that 250 times. There is a discussion within other cultures where they discuss about entities coming and teaching them things as
right.
well.
Mm-hmm.
That is written up as well. So mm-hmm. it backs up when we look at the Book of Enoch, Jubilees, Jasher, etc. But we go into Greek writing, when you read what Pluto is saying, etc., etc., when you widen that historically, there are other historical writings that back up what the Bible is saying.
Amen.
At this point, and how dangerous this is when you start. We are made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. Society is turning around and going, no, you're not. You're made in the image that you want to be.
No.
You be whatever you want to be.
No.
JD, I'll stop. It's your comment.
No, you're fine, and you're right on with everything. You brought up COVID-19, and for those of you that are coming over from YouTube now you know how come the show was short over there, because I'm censored on YouTube,
yeah.
and there's certain. There's certain things there that I can't discuss, and one of them is COVID-19. Luckily, we got Rumble. So, again, that's the reason that we tell you guys to please subscribe to this channel. If you find a short one over there, come over here, because you're going to get the whole thing, or you can go to lastchristian.net. Again, that's lastchristian.net, and you can get all of them there. But I want to go back to COVID-19 for just a second here, because I've got a couple of different perspectives on this. First of all, when this first happened, no, you don't wear a mask. That doesn't do you any good. Oh, yeah, we changed our mind. Yeah, it does. No, it doesn't. It never did. Okay, as far as the shot goes, now, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I believe, for instance, in shots against, what is it, MMR and measles and things like that have been around forever. Okay, I'm not afraid of those. I'm really not. Now, maybe you got a different perspective, but I'm not really afraid of that. What I am afraid of is this COVID-19 thing, and I'm going to tell you why. Whenever you have a vaccine come out for any disease, you hear about all the clinical studies.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time there
yeah.
are,
yeah.
And I'm not talking months. I'm talking years of clinical studies, and so they know what the side effects are, and they list those side effects and all that. We had a vaccine in less than 1 year, untested, which, in my opinion at that time, meant that the guinea pig was the people that were stupid enough to take the shot. I was not. And I know of a lot of people that did take the shot and wish they hadn't. I know of a lot of people that took the shot and died, including people in my family. I have heard that there is actually a study out now that within 5 years of those vaccinations, people are going to start having heart attacks and dying. I'm waiting on that to we're going to know whether or not that's true or not in pretty quick order here. But here's the other thing that has come to my mind over the past few months, and that is, Satan needs to take control. he needs to have the mark of the beast, right? And so I'm wondering if maybe this vaccine was his shortcut, that his plan was, okay, I'll corrupt humanity with this shot. But what he didn't take into account was God said, no, in order for this to count, they have to accept it. You can't force it on them. They have to accept the mark. Yeah, you can threaten them. You know, they can't work, you can't eat, you can't, you know, can't walk around, basically. But it's got to be their choice to take it. And on top of that, there hadn't been a rapture yet, and the rapture comes before that. So anyway, that's just my take on it, Mark, and I'll let you run with it, with whatever, if you think there's any value in anything I just said.
No, I think one particular thing when you're mentioning the mark of the beast, I don't think the shots are the mark of the beast. Mm-mm. However, But what I will say, I think what you're talking about is that it has produced a mindset of programming.
Right.
It's just shown how mm-hmm. you could herd people in a particular direction.
Exactly. The way I looked at it, Mark, and let me finish off this one little thought here, because this was important in that I considered the shot a test. I said this from the get-go. Yeah. I considered it to be a test. And, you know, can we get everybody to do this? You know, is there any way in the world that we as, you know, the elite, me as the leaders, is there any way we can herd all these people into doing something? Well, let's try this. And guess what, Mark? It was a huge success. It was a huge success. People bought into it all over the world. And it's going to be the same thing when it is time for the Mark of the Beast, in my opinion. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I think you're right. You know, here's a parallel then. Let's try and, I'm not trying to force the parallel. So God says to Noah, I want you to build this ark because it's going to rain. There's going to be a flood. I am going to flood the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And Noah's going, okay, you know. So he's at this for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And he is building this. And then the drops start as a warning. This is what I'm saying. Mm. People didn't believe him when they had that discussion with him. They didn't believe him.
Right.
So when all of that stupidity happened 5 years ago, building up to that, when even on a government website over here, around about the 25th, 26th of March, it's still there. 2020, when it said that COVID-19 had been downgraded from a highly infectious disease to a not so highly infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
And you point this out to people and they're going, no, 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 no. And it's there, right? Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right in regard to the testing. And you turn around and go, no, you brought something forward that's happened really, 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 really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes down to that verse, I think Matthew 24, when will we know of the day of your return? As in the days of Noah. And what you and I are trying to do. Hear me. We're not date setters. No. We are not saying Jesus is going to return tomorrow. But what I will say, I think the Lord talked about, we've got to look at the seasons. And there is a season going on, building up. I look at the tyranny that is happening in my own country, in the UK, the tyranny in Europe. What you have been through over the last 4 years, but actually you're not away from that. You're still very close to that. You're, you know, I don't know whether that is going to be reversed, but at the moment you've been given a little period of grace. Hallelujah. But we have now got that, the sort of Biden democratic regime on steroids over here. That's another subject for another day. But we're looking at this from a scriptural point of view. And also, you know, the Bible talks about that there will be a great falling away. That is going to happen. There will be, it's culture. The culture has invaded the church instead of the church invading the culture and changing things. But I, that's why this subject, you know, Hosea 4 verse 6, without sounding too repetitive, you know, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. You and I, in our own, you know, at times small brain, we're trying to get the knowledge, we're trying to understand what is going on. Because when we face as a nation utter ideological lunatics, I found out today where there are certain drill wells that have been drilled in the part of the Midlands in Nottingham, that during the war, we had 8 oil men over from America to help us get this oil out so we could keep our army vehicles going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're on about concreting these. That this whole climate change scam, as someone pointed out in Australia, they ship coal to China, they build in China all these windmills that, frankly, mm-hmm. we're about to turn off due at a fee of £181,000 a day because we have not got the facility to store the energy mm-hmm. that they are creating and also to turn them off if there are too high winds. We've had that. So again, that's coming at us to freeze us to death. It's all about control, which of course the vaccines are. But it comes back to this. Again, an insurgent, the fallen angels come in. That, if we look in recent history, which is another subject, the Nazis turned around and said, well, we got our technology from the other side, from occult practices. Mm-hmm. Nothing, JD, nothing has changed.
No.
But if, as that saying says, if we do not learn from history, we're desperate to repeat it again. But here's the key thing. Mm-hmm. It says we want to be like gods. We want to be our own God. We don't want a living relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. We don't want to respect the fact that we are made in God's image, right? And people like Nouvelle Harari and all this, when they write books like Homo Sapien and others, when they're saying, well, you know, you poor little people that believe in Jesus Christ, we're going to mm-hmm. leave mm-hmm. all of that behind. Mm-hmm. This is hubris, and it's relevant because people are turning around. Are you telling me that God's going to burn the earth? Are you telling me that Jesus is coming back? No, that's just a fable, because what we do, we've got Prometheus. We're saying that a little amoeba came from Mars, landing on Earth, and that's where you're coming from. You can see where all this is building up. It's all about that. But Jesus gave a warning. I come back to it, Matthew 24. Mm-hmm. How do we know the season? As in the days of Noah. I believe the season mm-hmm. is here, but I don't know how long we have got. But it seems that we are building into that reaction, into that situation, JD.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think time is short, and that's the reason that we keep appealing to everyone. Mm. If you haven't accepted Christ yet, please do. All you've got to do is say a very quick prayer in your own words and just let the Lord know that you're a sinner, that you want forgiveness, that you know Jesus Christ died for you, you know he is God's son. And if you will believe that from the bottom of your heart, then you're not going to have to worry about all this stuff that's coming. You won't be a part of it. You'll be taken with every other Christian, living and dead, in the air with Jesus Christ before God's judgment comes. And that's what we encourage you to do. Mark, thank you so much for being a part of the show today, and we'll look forward to having you next time. Until later, everybody, good night and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.